We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And at my right hand, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And together we represent
Wrestling with the basics. Very good. Right in unison that time. Not bad.
I know. It's working. We're getting the timing better. By the way, there's many reasons to listen to Wrestling with the Basics. Of course, because we're constantly studying the Word of God, that's a good reason to listen. But we're also your key source for the latest bacon news. Right? I mean, honestly, where else would you go to find out the latest things that are happening when it comes to bacon?
I don't know. I think we are the number one source for the bacon news.
I think so. And so you've heard the big things that are happening with bacon, haven't you, Matt?
Well, the big things, I don't know. Do you need to do anything else with bacon? It's pretty big the way it is.
New Hampshire now has as a bacon-smelling lottery ticket.
Is that right?
That's right. Oh, so you scratch it off and it smells like
bacon, but only after you scratch it.
Well, of course.
That's just kind of the little motivation to scratch. So it's a whole new meaning to scratch and sniff. Huh?
Yeah.
Scratch and sniff for adults.
And I'm thinking, why didn't somebody think of this before? Heck, we don't need lottery tickets. Just give me a little piece of paper that I scratch and smells like bacon so I can get my bacon fix any time of the day.
Yeah, you would pay $1 for a little index card that smells like bacon.
It smells like bacon. So that's the one thing. We have the scratch-off bacon lottery tickets in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
I have no idea. I did not know that was a big bacon. Well, Hampshire. Aren't pigs called shires or something?
I don't know. And the word ham is kind of ham in there, too.
That's what it is, Matt. Thank you. Yes, of course.
That must be it.
It's Hampshire. And then, of course, you know that Little Caesars now has their bacon-wrapped pizza crust, too. So
really?
So not only do you have bacon on the pizza, but the crust itself is wrapped in bacon, is what they say.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
wow. Double the bacon.
Double the bacon.
Oh. See, I don't know if this show is the best source for bacon news. I think it's just Jolly John Lekumsky is the best source for bacon news. He is
on top of the world of bacon. Just email me if you want to know what's happening in the world of bacon. What are we doing in the world of Wrestling with the Basics today,
Matt? I'm glad you asked, because today is an important morning, because today we're going to wrap up our study of the worship service, the liturgy. This is something that we've been looking at kind of every other Saturday, walking through what many churches and what Lutheran churches in particular do as far as worship goes, why we do what we do, why we say what we say, why we sing what we sing, and talking about some of those terms, especially, that are a little unfamiliar to people.
They're all the Latin phrases, sanctus, nunc dimittis, all that stuff. Yeah.
And you know, for our visitors, certainly unfamiliar for somebody walking in for the first time off the street. But also for, I think, the people are there in the pew every week. It's just something that's maybe we don't get a whole lot of thought to, or we did know it one time. Maybe we learned it in confirmation instruction or somewhere along the line, but maybe we've sort of forgotten about it.
And admittedly, you know, now we represent liturgical worship here. And like you said, it's not just a Lutheran thing. Presbyterians, yes. Anglicans, Roman Catholics, Orthodox Church, they all have a similar format to what we do. In fact, it's amazing how the fundamentals are the same, whatever church you go to. But that is the danger of the liturgical church, is that we do it every week and maybe we forget what it means and why we're doing what we're doing. So I'm glad you're offering us this little refresher course in worship.
Yeah, the words we say are important, and it's God's word regardless, and it's worship, and it doesn't return empty, and it's wonderful. But you know, how much more rich is it when we understand what we are saying and where it comes from and the significance of it? It really gives, I think, more meaning to those words in worship.
And I want to pick up on what you just said there, because Now, the people that don't do liturgical worship, they have a legitimate concern that we really do need to focus. We really do need to think about what we're doing. We shouldn't just do it as a ritual. But on the other hand, what they offer as an alternative might not be that much better, because at least the one thing about the liturgical worship is it does all come straight from the Word of God. It's not the pastor's opinion. It's not whatever the worship committee's feeling is. This all has direct scriptural references. In fact, we're going to talk about things that are actually quoted right out of the Bible as we wrap up worship today. And again, you know, it passed the test of time. This isn't like... It isn't like Lutherans put this together. Our Roman Catholics put this together. This was put together at a time when there was simply one church body, and I think there's something to be said for that, too. There's kind of a unity when we use a liturgical worship. So
yes, yeah, most definitely, and it's a great point. Because again, this isn't just a Lutheran thing. No, it's a God thing. It's out of, straight out of God's word. And that's one thing that I hope that we've really gotten across to our listeners during these weeks we've covered this, is that this is straight out of God's word.
Yep.
You know, we're just repeating God's word back to him and to each other too. And especially today, as we wrap up, we get to the benediction. And as we'll look at the benediction, we see that these words are some 3,500 years old.
That's right. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, they have been around a long time. So we want to acknowledge that. And like you said, just to acknowledge and to see and really be in awe of the fact that we're in this long line of believers in the Lord who were saying these words.
And that connection is definitely made by the word we close with. Because like you say, this actually goes beyond the New Testament. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to how God originally established how worship was supposed to be done. Although before we deal with that, just one final reminder, though. We're not saying that there has to be a necessarily set form or order of way of doing this. That's the tension. It isn't like God gave us this liturgical worship. But it is something that the church has gathered from the Holy Word of God over many, many years. And therefore, I think it's worth our honor and respect in our consideration. So
yes, thanks. So
where are we going?
Yeah, well, last week a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Nunc Dimittis, and then we talked about
what does that mean? Just as a quick review, Nunc Dimittis.
Well, it's the words of Simeon as he's holding the child Jesus there in the temple at his presentation, and again those words, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Okay, so especially those words, those opening words of the Nunc Dimittis, those opening words of...
Now depart? Would that be a fair translation?
Yeah,
Nunc Dimittis, now depart. Mm-hmm, let me depart or something like that. Okay,
So again, repeating back God's word, and now us having received Jesus in worship, in communion in particular, having held him after having tasted him, given his body and blood for us, now we say, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Depart this place and worship in peace, but also, even more significantly, even if it is your will, depart this world in peace. Having
either
been forgiven, we're ready for that home that's been prepared for us by that same Savior in heaven. So after that, then we have a closing collect or prayer, typically, that sort of draws in the worship and communion in particular, just giving thanks to God more than anything. So there's different forms of that.
Before you actually share the prayer, share with the listeners the insights that you had way at the beginning, because we also begin with a collect for the day that fits whatever we're going to be talking about that Sunday. Do you remember the insight you had about why we call them collects?
Well, one reason it called a collect is this idea of collection of prayers, the collection of this collective prayer of the people of God brought before the Lord by the pastor, typically, on behalf of the people. I think that's kind of a neat image because, again, it kind of harkens back to the Old Testament where that priest and the high priest in particular is that intercessor on behalf of the people of God, bringing their prayers and sacrifices, even with the animal sacrifices, before the Lord. And so here in a similar way, the pastor bringing before God these collected prayers of the people that we pray in that collect. And the collect at the beginning of the service, that collect of the day, typically reflecting in some way the theme or readings of the day as we come before the Lord collectively in prayer.
And it's kind of neat. We started off that way. We began our worship with this collection of prayers. I'd never thought of the collect in that sense before. And now we're going to kind of collect all of our prayers and thoughts, having heard the word of God, having prayed to the Lord, having prayed the prayer he taught us to pray, having received his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Now again, once again, we have a collection of all of our thoughts and prayers in this concluding collect now.
Sure.
So you got one you want
to
pray?
Sure, I'll share this one. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore
salutary. What does that mean?
Yeah, good, salutary. This blessing of a gift. Yeah,
all right. So it's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's
good
what
thing.
It means.
Yeah.
Okay.
That you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. And then the typical ending of colics we use in worship a lot of times, conclude with, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Because that's what God promises. Whatever you pray in his name, God will answer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And really just kind of thanking God here. We give thanks to him, and we're just acknowledging and asking him that he does indeed follow through on what he promises to do. Really. He's promised these gifts of forgiveness and salvation and life, strengthening of faith through the Lord's Supper. And here we're acknowledging that. And we're asking that God would indeed do that in our lives.
I like that concept, though. I had never thought of that term, that he would follow through.
Follow through, Lord. Yeah.
Because it's not like we've done this worship thing. Okay, we're done. Yeah. Hang it up. We're finished. But no, this is actually a prelude now to us going out and living our lives as Christians. But I like that thought, that the only way that's going to happen is if Jesus follows through on his promises.
Sure.
It's not like we made a bunch of promises and now it's up to us to follow through. No, we'll fall back into our old paths without much effort or help. But we want Jesus now to follow through. What were the things he's going to follow through on?
So, here we go. Some pretty good things. Strengthened in faith toward you.
All right. Okay. So we know there's going to be things that are going to encounter that were going to cause us doubts, but, Lord, you keep us strong in faith.
And at the same time, in fervent love toward one another.
Oh, okay. Well, there you faith and love. What else could you want?
Yeah. So good. So this vertical relationship with God, this strengthening of faith in him through his word, through the sacrament we've received, but then also love toward each other too. Having been forgiven, now we go out from this place, having been loved and shown that love by our God, we now show that love in our lives and share it with others in the way in which we treat them in our words and our actions.
I like that idea, though. Follow through.
Follow through,
Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad you like that.
Yeah, I did. Did you want to read the other collect, or do you want to move on, or what's your desire?
Well, I don't know. Do you want me to read? Okay.
Because after this, we're done.
Yeah,
right?
Not quite.
There's one last thing to do, right, after the collect.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, then we have the benediction. Yeah. Okay,
right.
Good. Well, we'll read this too. O God, the Father, fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule in our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. And then again, that ending, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
So there again, there's the thanks you were talking about, and very specific thanks that he sent Jesus Christ to be in the flesh. And again, a prayer that he would follow through, that we would now live like his children that we're leaving here.
Yeah, acknowledge those gifts, this peace and pardon and this sacrament. But then also, like you said, to follow through. And don't forsake your children. Rule in our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
And acknowledging that that's the only way in which we can truly love our neighbor, that we can do his will, is if he is with us as his dear children.
And boy, it really puts the tension back on that again. It's not that we're going to go out and we're going to start doing all kinds of good things, but the issue is, will Christ remain with us? Because if he forsakes us, then there's absolutely no hope for us. But of course, the prayer that is based upon his promise, as I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Yeah.
Yeah.
So even these prayers, I think it's a good point. Even these prayers, maybe not straight out of the scriptures, but they certainly allude to those truths scripture. One of them being that promise that Jesus makes, I'm with you always to the end of the age.
Yeah.
Matthew 28.
And I like that, too, because, again, there's your collection of thoughts that we haven't just done this. We didn't do the liturgy, and now we can scratch it off and say, okay, I've done the liturgy for this week. I'm finished. No, the whole purpose of the liturgy, of everything we've been doing, is that we might now become God's children and live as those children in our day-to-day lives. So,
yes.
All right, what's next?
Good. Well, let's move on to the benediction.
Yeah. This is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for. So the benediction, straight out of Scripture. In fact, as the Lord commands it, he even commands it specifically as a way to bless the people of Israel, for Aaron and his sons, Aaron the high priest and his sons who would serve as priests. This is something to be used to bless the people, and really certainly to be used within the context of worship. So these really, truly ancient words that we read from the book of Numbers. You know, you think the book of Numbers is full of a bunch of numbers and boring stuff. But really, when you read the book of Numbers, it's kind of an action-packed book, actually. And in chapter 6 of this book, we have this beautiful blessing that God gives for his people. So would you like to read that?
I would love to read that.
Numbers 6, verses 22, how about through 27?
Okay. The Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So that's just exciting to think that we're closing this all out with words that God gave us, like you said, 3,500 years ago.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And when, especially as a pastor, when I speak those words, talk about, like we said before, to be in this line of people who have spoken these same words. How incredible. For 3,500 years, these same words of blessing spoken over the people of God.
Yeah.
And now I get to be God's mouthpiece, as the one called to that place to speak these words of blessing to the Lord's people there. That's pretty amazing.
It's
pretty
exciting.
Humbling, too.
It is. It is. That's right. Yeah.
But again, we take note of who's doing the acting here. It's not the pastor will bless you and keep you. I will make face shine upon you. And it's not even the people doing it much of anything.
No.
They're just the recipients. Again and again in this threefold blessing of the benediction, the one who's doing all the acting is the Lord, is God.
Yeah.
Like so much we've already looked at, you know, who's doing the blessing and baptism and in communion and throughout the service through the word. It's the Lord again and again and again. And so also here at the close of the service and the benediction, it's the Lord who's doing the acting. He's doing the blessing.
And, you know, it's kind of a nice follow-up to the collects, because the collects do refer to the fact that we're leaving with a mission. We are to leave and be the children of God and to have faith in God and to love our neighbor. But I like the fact that we are finally, the final word that God says to us, trust me, if any of this is going to happen in your life this week, it is going to be because the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has made his face shine on you. And it's the Lord who's going to give you the peace so this is possible. Yeah.
Yes. And the Lord, I think that's significant too. So this is, if you have most Bibles, I have the Lord capitalized there, capital L-O-R-D, all four letters. And so that's kind of our little signal that this is the name Yahweh, that special personal name of God that God has used to reveal himself to his people. And so he places this very personal name upon his people. And then the other thing is, too, how many times is this name used here in the benediction?
A bunch. Well, three times in the benediction properly,
good.
But
yes,
also
yes.
It's what the Lord spoke for them to say.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But in the benediction in particular, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Three times, and I think that's significant. It sort of alludes then to that threefold name of God, the Trinity.
Father, Son, and Holy
Spirit. Exactly. So as Jesus then, in the last part of Matthew, gives us that great commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's really a connection there, I think, with the benediction, that threefoldness of God. The Father God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So we see this reflected here in the benediction as well. So kind of a neat idea there too. And the other connection I think that's really pretty cool is to the invocation. So how do we start the worship service? The very first words we said were...
Yeah, in the name of the Father,
in the name of the
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes.
As we remember our baptism.
Yeah.
And so how do we close the service with this threefold use of God's name? Once again, the Lord, as we certainly remember our baptisms, but God acts and gives his blessing upon us, his people, as we leave that place of worship.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of neat. I hadn't thought of that. We begin with the Trinity. We end with the Trinity. We'll leave then with the blessing of the Trinity.
And, you know, I think this is important, too. Those verses that you read, God gives this to Moses, for Aaron to speak specifically to the people of Israel to bless them. And so that connection, I think, to us, to Israel, you know, Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, you know, the one through which he's going to bring that Savior. So also the church today, God's people. So this is a very special blessing meant for the people of God, the people that he's placed his name on already in baptism. This blessing is meant for us. Not that we deserve it, but by God's grace, he puts his blessing and his name upon us.
So, Matt, what is the significance with this whole business about making his face to shine upon you? And my understanding is in the Hebrew, actually, it's basically the same phrase. We have lift up his countenance, but it's basically the same phrase in the Hebrew, I guess, yes. Just because we don't like repetition in English, you know.
Yes.
We change the wording. But what's the whole idea of that face of
God?
Yeah,
face
kind of
comes
us?
Up twice there. Yep, you're right. The face to shine upon you. I mean, it sounds kind of scary in one respect because, oh boy, if you go back to the Old Testament and Moses in particular, no one could see God's face and live.
Yeah,
after all,
he
is a holy God. We are unholy, sinful people. You know, this face is a serious business. But yet, this face God chooses to bestow blessing on us through his presence, through his face. You know, his face beams with these blessings for us, which I think it makes this benediction that much more awe-inspiring, that God would lift up his countenance upon us, his face would shine upon us, and we're not destroyed, but instead God chooses to even bless.
You know, I think of the story of the prodigal son, and of course he's taken the family inheritance, he's wasted it with wild women and song, at least that's the accusation his brother makes. And how he may have anticipated when he came home that his father would actually turn his face away from him. Well, I don't want anything to do with you after what you did.
Yeah.
But again, you got the same thing there in that parable. The father turns his face towards him, runs out to him, meets him out even as he's coming towards home. Doesn't even wait for him to get back to the house. So, yeah, I like that thought, too, that God's smiling on us. He's smiling on us. Yeah.
Undeserved, just like that son. But having gone through the service and been forgiven time and again, here God, it says forgiven people, smiles upon us. And I think smile is a good word, especially that third line of the benediction, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And you pointed out that countenance is kind of another word for face in the Hebrew there. So lift up his face. You know, it's really kind of a picture of lifting up the mouth, the face, and a smile.
You know,
God's favor is smiling upon us. It's a really beautiful picture.
And what is this peace, though? Because often, Matt, I'm sorry, I leave, I'm not necessarily feeling peace. I'm still, you know, it's funny, the things I worried about when I came into church, and I did pray about them, and God did come and speak his word of comfort to me, but a lot of times when I leave church, I'm still worried about the illnesses and all of those things going on. In fact, I've got a son-in-law right now that they found a tumor on his back, and they're not quite sure what that's all going to amount to. So what is the peace that's being talked about?
Well, you know, I think it's neat that it's the very last word, peace. You know, this shalom, this peace of God, from God. And I think of other benedictions in the Bible, too, that, you know, Paul in particular ends his different letters with sort of benedictions, words of blessing for his readers. And the phrase he uses that I like, you know, that peace that passes our understanding, you know, guarding our hearts and minds. And it's that sort of peace, too, that, yeah, you're right. In this world, we're going to have troubles, and there's sickness and death and all sorts of terrible things. But yet, this peace, this God-given peace is one that passes our understanding, our human minds, and it's a peace that transcends and stays even in the face of the difficulty and problems of living in this sinful world.
Yeah, it goes beyond all of those things, don't you? Like I said, to transcend those things. And it is kind of nice to know that when we leave church, we're going to have our struggles and trials, but it's not going to be with God. We're not fighting him. He's not at war with us, but we are at peace with him.
The word benediction literally means speak well, or the good word. I really like that. So the way we leave worship is with this good word from God. And so let's close with the words of this good word. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.